Hello, thank you for tuning in. You are listening to Irene Efren Podcast with me, Irene Efren. I interview women around Southeast Asia to bring their unique stories and experiences to empower other women in this region.
Hi, Janice. How was the dive today?
Hi, Ka. It was really good. We saw mantas, obviously, and some turtles.
Oh, where did you go?
Manta Bay and Crystal Bay.
Hey, I saw on your Instagram, maybe it was like a week ago, you saw like, 40 mantas in Manta Bay, is it?
Yeah, we saw 40 plus manta rays in, it was in Manta Point. We saw 40 plus manta rays in Manta Point. It was really cool. I think it was one of the best dives I ever did in Bonita.
Wow. What was happening? Why was there so many mantas there on that day?
I don't know. They were just there and they were all doing lots of different things, but no mating train. So it was just basically mantas cleaning and they just come and go.
Yeah, they're usually around, right?
Yep.
Anyway, so for friends who's listening to my podcast, first of all, thank you so much for tuning in. Second of all, I'm so happy to have Janice Argaswara as a guest because she is one of the coolest people I know. She's a marine biologist. And we actually met on a dive boat.
Yeah, we met on a dive boat. I am a research assistant with the Marine Megafauna Foundation Southeast Asia. Well, we actually already have a local foundation or yayasan, which is also called Yayasan Megafauna Laut. It is specifically for Indonesian-based megafauna research, and I am currently based in the small island off Bali, Nusa Lembongan.
Janice, how did you even begin to get into marine biology?
Ever since I was younger, I've always been really interested in animals, and I grew up like in primary. I did a project on rainforest and just all this environmental stuff, and then my aunt, she asked if I wanted to get my dive course, my open water dive, in high school. And at the time, I was like, okay, why not, right? So I took the course. But and then after the course, I never go diving again because I was still in school. And, you know, there's not a lot of places to dive in Jakarta. Basically, it's probably just Pulau Seribu, right? So, And then like when I was about to graduate, I didn't know what I wanted to take for university. I applied for graphic design, visual communication, but I was a science major. So I wanted to try something more sciencey. And at one point I was watching this documentary with my brother about this guy who went, I think snorkeling or maybe scuba diving, I can't remember, but with whale sharks in South Africa. And then when I saw it, I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. I want to do that. That looks so fun. I just gambled my way through marine science. And I only applied for the university in Bali, which is Udayana University, because I thought if I wanted to learn marine biology, marine science, I might as well do it in a place where I'm near the ocean. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, there are a lot of universities that has good reputation on marine science and marine biology in Java and even in Sulawesi, but I figured I'd just go to Bali. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got here. I just gambled my way and figured that I love animals and I want to dive more.
That's a great way to choose what you want to study.
Yeah, I just watch a lot of movies.
You know, I actually was an environmental science minor in college.
Oh, cool.
And there's an Earth Day episode, the one in April, in which I talk a little bit about this more with a sustainability activist. But basically, I got depressed and then music made me happy. So I chose to do music. And I'm so glad that I can reconnect to that aspect of my life.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, environment also kind of makes you just be more grateful, I guess, sometimes.
Can you tell me why there's a Marine Megafauna Foundation in Lembongan?
The start of MMF in Indonesia, it came from HQ of MMF in Mozambique. A couple of people went to Lembongan and dive here, and they started a chapter of MMF because they found out that there are manta rays in the area. There is a huge population of manta rays here. And after that, they set up a chapter in Nusa Lambongan. It became the HQ for projects in Indonesia because after that, we found out that there are manta rays as well in Komodo and in East Kalimantan.
And there's not just manta rays, right? If you're talking about megafauna in that area, there's also whale shark and mola.
For the annual, like not annual, but the one that is always on the around the island is the manta rays and the mola or the sunfish. But for whale sharks, it's just a regular like passing through. So we don't actually have a proper population of whale sharks around the island. But in Nusa Penida alone, we do have manta rays and sunfish.
Janice, break down exactly what you do.
As a research assistant, I do a lot of things.
That's what I thought, because you seem very, very busy whenever I was watching you there.
Basically, of course, I do field work. So field work include going on dives, whether it be scuba diving or free diving or snorkeling, whatever the case may be. I also do outreach. So outreach means, I mean, of course, Kat, when you're there, I did a little presentation on the manta rays and how we have to act around manta rays and the code of conducts. So that's one of the things that I do too, is I do outreach. And then, of course, I do data analysis and processing. So other than being on the field, where in the field, what I do is I take pictures of megafaunas, mainly manta rays and sea turtles. But when I'm back on land, I do data analysis where I have to transfer all the pictures to my laptop, and then I have to sort the pictures where we get good manta ray and sea turtle identifications, and we have to analyze and process all that stuff using these different softwares, starting from the basic room to edit your pictures and to rename your pictures in a certain way, until I have to learn data modeling through the software R. So there's a lot of things going on as a research assistant. And one of the other things that I am still learning that I really didn't like at the first place, and I still don't actually really like it, but is actually having to manage documents, like governmental documents. Yeah, because as a conservationist, you kind of have to also report to the government and see whether what we are doing actually make changes, and just report lots of reports. So that is one of the things that I actually had trouble with. I remember when I was going to Komodo National Park, because we went to a national park and I was alone to ask for a permit to the national park. And I just, like, deep down, I already really dislike government administration and stuff. So doing that was really challenging for me, but as a researcher, of course, I have to do it and I have to learn. So yeah, there's my job description is very wide right now. So the manta rays, well, manta rays, not only here, but I think like elsewhere, they are pretty special because they are actually protected species. And in Indonesia alone, both species of manta rays are protected because,
Both species, what are the two species?
yeah, so there are two species of manta rays. We have the Mobula alfredi and the Mobula birostris, or the reef manta ray and the oceanic or giant manta ray. And both of them are actually protected in Indonesia because for the past years, there have been a lot of manta ray fisheries where their gill rakers or their gills are taken as medicine. So manta rays have the lowest reproductive output of any shark and rays. So their numbers are declining, and it's really hard to get their population back because it takes forever for them to have a baby. Especially in Indonesia, with the trend of manta ray fisheries, which is of course now is banned, and if someone is caught doing that, there will be consequences. But of course, there are black markets and everything, so we don't really know. Yeah, that's why in this area, they're very important to protect them, especially manta ray tourism is, manta ray tourism helps a lot of people in Indonesia, in the coastal communities. They are the income source for lots of the coastal communities.
Yeah, I think it was like 2 years ago that the Marine Megafauna Foundation, they had a campaign to adopt a manta. Is that still happening?
It's like a program we have for people who want to donate. Mm-hmm. And usually how we approach is that if you can donate through adopting a manta. And so by adopting a manta, you get to name the manta. And then every time we see the manta, you'll get emails telling you where the manta was seen and whether she or he is, whether she's pregnant or whether he is mature. So we kind of, it's like a little baby that we keep the adopters updated.
We had adopted a ninja manta. I remember that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. In a Punita manta?
Yep, yeah. But I guess ninja mantas, they're like black on, they have black bellies, right?
Yeah, yeah. They're ninja mantas, they have a black body with white spots on their body.
They're very rare, is that right?
Yeah, I think we only have about 10% on the Nusa Penida area. I think if you do want to adopt, you can just email them, because we do have, sometimes we have people asking us how to adopt and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Or you can just make a donation and help all of the amazing work that's being done around the world for megafauna research, marine megafauna research. So, Janice, you told me a little bit about what you don't like about your job, the administrative government paperwork.
Yeah.
What do you like best about your job?
My favorite thing about my job is that I get to work with animals and that I get to travel. So before that, I've only dived in Bali and in Jakarta, like nowhere else. And then after I joined the team, I actually got to travel to East Kalimantan and also Komodo, which I'm really grateful for, because even though I'm working, but I get to see different parts of Indonesia that I haven't been to. And I just love seeing all these different animals.
Janice, where did you go in East Kalimantan? Were you diving there?
Yeah, so in East Kalimantan, I went to Derawan Islands. So Derawan Islands is the set of islands off the east of Kalimantan. So to get there, you either go from Berau, a little town, or from Tarakan. And in Derawan is where people live. But for the diving, we go on like day trips to, for example, Sangalaki Island, which is the manta island. And we do 3 dives over there. So it's like we roll around different islands every day.
Would you recommend that as a spot for me to go diving?
Yes, yes. But going to Derawan, the access going there is pretty
difficult.
Difficult. Yeah. So before you go there.
Research.
a lot of research. But it was worth it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope that after I finish my dive master, then I'll be able to explore more around Indonesia. So Derawan on the research very well list. So Janice, if we're talking about, you know, marine biology and preservation of our oceans and of the beautiful life there, we have to talk about like plastic and awareness about that.
So, I mean, it's a pretty common knowledge that plastic pollution is everywhere, yeah. Like the Bantar Gebang landfill in Jakarta is the biggest landfill in Southeast Asia, and it's getting crowded. You know, they are out of space.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's actually the biggest one in Southeast Asia, and landfills, they are out of space for the trash that we generate, and so a lot of them leak into the environment, including obviously the oceans. When plastic pollution comes to our ocean, it's a big deal because it affects a lot of things, like the animals through ingestion or through entanglement, but also some plastics that may maybe cover coral reefs, just basically like ruining some of the ecosystems that help regulate our climate and weather. So it's like this big circle where with only trash, it can impact a lot of things through our ocean and even to our earth. It's just pretty depressing and pretty sad when you see so many plastics in the water, and then you just see, you can actually see a lot of these beautiful, beautiful creatures and lots of fish, but they're swimming in plastic. So it's just kind of depressing.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is. Sad.
Is there anything we could do in our daily lives, daily habits that preserve the ocean?
Yeah, there are so many things you can actually do. Starting from the easiest, it's just to reduce. And we can also be involved in certain activities. So I know that a lot of dive centers, they either work together with NGOs or conservation teams. Sometimes they provide a coral reef restoration program. And through asking about manta rays and how you can donate, and by sharing what these NGOs do, it's actually like already a big action that you're doing to care about the ocean and to raise awareness.
As somebody that's working very often in the field, do you actually see the changes of the efforts that's being done?
I know that a lot of young people are starting to raise awareness and be more aware in why we need to protect our oceans. And field-wise, it is kind of hard to see it in a short-term lens, because as conservationists, as researchers, we do get depressed. You know, we do get sad when we see manta rays, maybe more manta rays entangled with fishing line, because we see a lot of that here, right? But I guess one of the things that you have to be is that you have to be optimist in the later years, in the long term, that you're going to see some changes. Just because I'm seeing these sad things now doesn't mean I'm going to stop and give up, you know? So that's why I'm still conducting research. I'm still doing outreach activities so that in the long term, we can actually see more changes.
Brilliant. That's brilliant. Thanks for sharing that. You were talking about manta rays entangled in fishing lines. If you saw that, what could be done? Like, how would you treat or help the manta?
Right. So a few days ago, we saw an entangled manta ray, just like some fishing line on its wings. So usually we always have scissors in our BCDs, and my team leader or a friend or whoever has helped manta rays before, they're going to get their scissor out and try to swim with the manta and just try to cut out the fishing line. Of course, we don't always succeed. Sometimes we just cut a little piece of the fishing line, but at least it won't tangle until they're back. We try our best to help the manta ray get free of the entanglement. Or sometimes we even see like manta rays having hooks on their wings or near their eyes. And that is way harder to get it out. So at least try to cut out the fishing line that entangles them. And we just try our best to save them.
How does the manta behave like when somebody's swimming that close to it?
I think you know that with manta rays, we're not allowed to go very close unless they are the one who approach us. But when they are in danger, we do try to help them. And sometimes they swim really fast, like swim away really fast, so we can't really like help them. But some mantas, they do actually stick around and let us help them. You know, so I think because manta rays, they also have like personalities. Some of them may be shy. Some of them may be more brave or a bit cheeky. So some of the manta rays, they actually do let us help them, but some also just swim away.
Wow. That's pretty awesome that there's people doing that. Really, really appreciate the work that you guys do. How do you see the future of Indonesia's oceans? I know that's a huge question.
That if more people were to get involved, it could be going in a much better way and in a much quicker progress. Because Indonesia, we have a lot of ocean on our hands, and we do need more hands. And not just conservation, but in all marine industries, like even the maritime industry and fisheries, tourism, coastal community economies. And so I believe that with more hands, with more people doing that, we can actually manage our ocean into a more sustainably managed ocean. I personally think we do have to utilize our ocean, whether through sustainable seafood or energy source or tourism, you know, just a lot of things.
Seaweed.
Yeah, seaweed, biotech. But again, all of these utilization has to be done sustainably. Otherwise, if it's not done sustainably, we won't have any more source left in the future years.
We had a really great chat. Thank you so much, Janice, for your time. And I'm really, really grateful to you and your colleagues and the foundation for all that you guys are doing for our oceans.
No, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about this stuff. And I hope a lot of people are like enlightened or maybe inspired to do something in their own homes to change something good for the ocean.
Yay! Hand clap. Go Marine Megafauna Foundation. Please donate, friends. They're doing great stuff. Help the Monterey's. Yay!
And that was her unique story and experience. If you would like to share your voice with me, contact me at irineefferin.com. That's AirineEfferin.com. Subscribe for more courageous voices from women all around Southeast Asia.